Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Beis. We're beginning the brand new 8th Perek, second to last Perek in this beautiful Masechta. Begin halfway down, Mem Beis Zom and Aleph. We're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Seymour El Shor, Rav Shmuel Yehuda Ben Yosef. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up the brand new Perek, middle of the Daf, Mem Beis Zom and Aleph, with the words, Mishuach Muhama. This Mishnah is going to talk to us about the Halachas, which we're very unfamiliar with, from a practical point of view, and that is that there was a Kohen known as the Mishuach Muhama. He was anointed similar to the Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol, during the period of time in Bayis Rishon, up until when Yoshio hid away the special oil, the anointing oil, the Shemen HaMishcha, so until that point in time, a new king and the Kohen Gadol were anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. The new kings, it wasn't always, if they were the son of a king, they didn't have to, but the Kohen Gadol was always anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, and in addition, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama also was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. He would be the battle Kohen, as we'll see from this Mishnah. Once the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden away, so then in that situation, there would be, the Kohen Gadol would wear the 8 begadim of the Kuna Gadola, so did the Mashuach Muhammad wear the 8 begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore, and they were called Meruba begadim, and that's how they became anointed, inaugurated as being either the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad. In any event, what was the role of this Mashuach Muhammad? It was to encourage Klai Yisrael to go out to battle and not be afraid. So, at the beginning, he would speak to the people, and he had to speak to them in Lashon Kodesh, as we discussed in the previous Perek, and this was one of those things that had to be said b'davkin Hebrew, couldn't be said b'chol Lashon, as our Mishnah tells us, Meshuach Muhammad b'shoshim medaber elo'am b'lashon ha'kodesh ha'yimedaber. He had to b'davkin speak what he had to say in Hebrew. And how do we know this? Shenemar, v'haya kikar v'chem el ha'milchamah v'nigash ha'kohen, when they would go ready to go to battle against our enemies, so the Kohen, Meshuach Muhammad, would come to them. This coin was that coin is Meshuach Muhammad. We'll darshing out how we know that in the Gemara. And the Diber El Ha'om, he had to go and speak to the people. And from this, the speak to the people, the Diber El Ha'om, had to be B'Lashon HaKodesh. And again, Rashi points out, we'll learn how this is darshing out when we do the Gemara. Now, what were some of the things that the Kohen had to go tell? This Kohen Meshuach Muhammad had to go tell the people. He spoke to them at two points in time. One was before they went out to the battle, and one was on the battlefield itself. Now, he would tell them, V'yamar Alein, Shema Yisrael V'gomer. He would read to them the Pasuk, where it tells us, V'yamar Alein, Shema Yisrael, Atem Kreivim Hayom L'Muchamo. You're getting ready to go to battle on against our enemies. Aloy Veichem. Ayirach levavchem, don't be afraid. Al tiru, don't be afraid in a different way. We'll see the differences. V'altach bezu, v'altaretzu mipnehem. So now we're going to dash in all those words. So we starts off in saying that you're going out to battle. V'amar leim shema yisrael v'gomer. Al oyevechem, you're going out to battle against your enemies. V'lo al achechem, and not against your brothers. For example, lo Yehuda al Shimon, lo Shimon al Binyamin. This isn't a battle internally, a civil war. Chas v'shalom amongst Klai Yisrael, where your enemy will have mercy on you, as we will see. So this isn't the battle of Yehuda versus Shimon, or Shimon versus Binyamin, because in that situation, should you lose, it's not the end of the world. Should you fall in battle and lose, so you'll be POWs, but you'll be treated in a great way. You'll be treated nicely because they are your cousins, your brothers, if you lose in battle. They'll show you mercy. As we see, from a battle between Yehuda and Yisrael. This is outlined in Divrei Yamin, where Rashi points out this was a battle between Pekach ben Rumal Yohu, who was the Melech of Yisrael, and he was fighting with Achaz, who was the Melech of Yehuda. And Yehuda lost terribly in that war, and many, many, many Jewish soldiers from Yehuda were killed, and many, many women and children were taken into captivity. So it says over there, Kamosh Nemar, Vayakumu Anoshim Asher Nikvu Bashemos. Yisrael defeated Yehuda, and they took many, many people captive. They took their cousins, the Shevet Yehuda, in captivity, their brothers. And those people that had lost their clothing in the war, some got cut, got torn away, they lost it. In any event, they clothed them. So they not only treated the prisoners of war nicely, they gave them additional clothing. It says, Hilbishum and Ashalal, and then Vayabishum. They gave them even from their own clothing, not only from the other booty that they got, but they even gave them from their own pocket. And they clothed them, and they gave them lots of good food and lots of good drink, and they gave them anointing oils. So this is much, much more than you would do for an enemy. And they gave them donkeys to ride upon if they weren't able to walk on their own. They brought them to Yericho, Eitzalachem, amongst their other brothers, and ultimately by Yeshuvu Shomron, and they returned them to the Shomron. The word Vegomer, not sure why it's here, that is the end of the pasuk. In any event, this is what the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad exhorted Klai Yisrael to realize, that you're going out to battle against your enemies, not against your Achecha, not against your brothers. When you go out against your brothers, they'll show you mercy. But your enemies, atem hochem shim tiplu biyodem, ein mirachem alecha. If you fall into their hands, oy vavoy, then you're in a lot of trouble. You won't be treated like Yisrael, Pekach ben Ramayo's army, treated the losing army of Ochaz of Yehuda. And Kohen Mashuach Muhammad continues, he says, Ayerach levavchem. You don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts become faint. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Al tachbezu, don't get all panicked. And the Vegomer, and here the Vegomer continues the pasuk, Yal tarzu mipineihem, that you shouldn't go and be destroyed in front of them. This means, from an emotional point of view, you have to be prepared to battle. So now we dash in the words. Al yerach levavchem. Don't let yourself become afraid that your heart should become faint. Mipnei tzohalas susim, because of the horses. You can hear the enemy horses and they neigh, neigh, neigh. It's very scary to know that there are all those soldiers on the other side. Mipnei tzohalas susim. Don't become afraid. Bitzich tzuach charavos, and they clang their swords one against the other. Well, that they see the sharp, shiny swords. So therefore, don't get afraid when you see that. That's what it means, ayirach levavchem. What does it mean, al tiru, don't be afraid? Al tiru, mipnei hagafas trisa, because they're clanging their shields one against the other. And also don't be afraid of, from shifas kalgasin. Rashi explains kalgasin means the troops, the enemy troops, chayolos. So don't be afraid, because you're going to see all this large number of garrisons of enemy soldiers, so don't be afraid. What does it mean? Al-tach-bezu, another form of don't be afraid, don't get all into bamboozled and panicked. Mikol kronos, from all the various karen, the horns that they're going to be blowing in order to instill fear in you. So the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad says, don't let any of this bother you. And finally, al-tar-tzu, don't let them be breaking you. They may call tzvachos, because you're going to shout and scream. This was a very common approach of emotional, psychological warfare that the enemy would try to instill in fear in you, so you'd be paralyzed and wouldn't be able to fight them. Now, why shouldn't you be afraid? So the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad would tell Klai Yisrael, because Kashem Lokechem, Ha'alechim Achem, he's going to be fighting for you. As the end of the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kashem Lokechem, Alechim Achem, Lilochem Lokechem, Mimoyvichem, Lushitzchem. You got nothing to worry about. Hashem is fighting for you. You're just basically going out there for the ride. Hashem will take care of everything. They're coming with the strength of flesh and blood. They're coming with an army, as strong as that army may be, but it's human. It's flesh and blood. And you're coming with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your side. So you have a clear superpower majority over them, so you have nothing to fear about. And the Mishnah gives several examples of this. The Plishtim bo b'nitzchonu shel Goyas. The Plishtim came with their super warrior Goyas. And what happened to him? So ultimately, David defeated him very simply. David was a little child compared to Goyas. And yet, if you had taken the odds and looked at the physical prowess, you would have said it was a slam dunk to Goyas would win. But of course, David HaMelech won. Likewise, B'nei Amon bo b'nitzchonu shel Shovach. The B'nei Amon had their leader, like Goyas, he was a great warrior. He was a Sar Tzover, Rashi says, of Hadrezer. And he was also the champion of Ammon. And yet, Mayosofa, what was his end? David defeated him as well. The Sofnaf al Bechar, Vidaf Limo. He fell, and all the army fell. So the Plishtim lost, the Ammonim lost. Everybody's going to lose. Because Vatem, Yatem came. You're not coming because you're trained better. You're not coming because you have more F-16s. You're not coming because you have better tanks, better armor. You're coming, ki Hashem lokechem, halechemuchem lilochemuchem v'gomer. Hashem is fighting on your behalf, and that's why you're going to win. And he will come, lohoshia eschem. That's the v'gomer. And we have to remember, zemachne Aaron. This is a reference to the Aaron that went down with Klai Yisrael into battle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always make you win. All we have to do is deserve it. And if we deserve it, we will win, and therefore, don't be afraid. That was the message from the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad to the army of Klai Yisrael. Now, Amar starts off and says, we learned in the Mishnah that the Mashuach Muhammad has to speak B'loshon HaKodesh, and that's because of the words V'diber el ha'am. So the Gemara says, my comrade, how do you know that? How does he know that that means he has stayed in Lashon Kodesh? So Gemara says, ha'chi comrade, this is what it means. Shenema, the Pasuk says, when it says V'diber over here, V'lahalin omer, and elsewhere it says, in regards to Matan Torah, it says, Moshe daber v'lokim yanenu b'kol. So obviously, that was in Hebrew. So ma lahalon b'lashon kodesh, just like it was there, yidaber was b'lashon kodesh, so too over here, v'diber el ha'am has to be b'lashon kodesh. So that's how the Mishnah knew it. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tanu Rabban, in the following braisa, the Pasuk tells us, v'nigash ha'kohen v'diber el ha'am. The Kohen Meshuach b'chama would go to Klai Yisrael before they went into battle. So how do we know that this was the Kohen Meshuach b'chama? Yochel kol kohen she'irtze. One might have thought that this could be any kohen. A guy wants to step up to the plate and say, "I'll go and make this announcement." So Talmud Lomer, it has to be v'dibru hashotrim. Likewise, it uses the lashon that the shotrim will speak up. So we're comparing the kohen to the shotrim. And how do we compare them? Ma shotrim b'mimune af kohen b'mimune. The shotrim couldn't just go and be officers; they had to be appointed. So too, the kohen who was the Meshuach b'chama had to be appointed. So it says, well, if you're talking about somebody's appointed, maybe it's a Kohen Gadol. They have a Kohen Gadol. How do we know that it was not the Kohen Gadol, that it was the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad, another appointed Kohen? So the Gemara says, it could do me the Shotrim. Because again, we have this analogy, this comparison to the Shotrim. And the Shotrim had somebody above them, so too this Kohen Meshuach Muhammad had to have somebody above him. Do me the Shotrim. My Shotrim, Sheesh Mehuna Agabav, Av Kohen, Sheesh Mehuna Agabav. Just like the Shotrim had a superior officer, so too this Kohen, who was exhorting Klai Yisrael before they went into battle, not to be afraid, had to have somebody above him. So Moshe says, well, the Kohen Gadol had the king above him. Kohen Gadol Nami, Ho'ikam Melech HaGabav. So again, maybe it's the Kohen Gadol. Why are you telling me it's a Kohen Meshuach Muhammad? So Gemara says, no, it has to be that somebody's above him doing that thing. Not that there's a king. King's above everybody. But you need to have a Kohen above you, just like you needed to have a Shoter above you. So Bava Dosa Komar, we're dealing here, there has to be somebody above the Shotrim who does that type of Avoda. So too, there has to be somebody above the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad who does that type of Avoda, i.e. another Kohen. And the only example of this is a Kohen Meshuach Muhammad. He's appointed to be Meshuach Muhammad, and he has a Kohen Gadol above him. Where it says, well, isn't there another Kohen who's appointed? The Skan Kohen Gadol. Maybe the Ema, that this is the Skan Kohen Gadol. He's the one who is taking the place of the Kohen Gadol if he gets Tomei on Yom Kippur, and he jumps in and does the rest of the Yom Kippur Avoda. So he's also set up and designated and appointed. Isn't that possibly who then we're referring to over here? Why are you telling me it's a Meshuach Muhammad specifically, and not that it's the Skan Kohen Gadol? So Gemara answered, because the Skan Kohen Gadol isn't the real appointed position. It's a, in case something happens, we have somebody in the wings. But there's no real responsibility, the job that he does, other than waiting in the wings. So Skan Lav Mimunahu, he's not really appointed. He doesn't have a job. His whole role is, in case the Kohen Gadol can't make it, so he gets Tameh. Something happens to him, he dies, Rechmanu Litzlan. So then, we have somebody to step in and take his place. And this is based upon the following price of the Tanya. Amri Bichanina, Skan Kohanim. Rabbi Chanina, who was one of the Skan Kohanim, he says, Lema Skan Mimuna. In what way is the Skan Kohen Gadol appointed? Only Shem Ira Bo Psul B'Kohen Gadol Nichnas B'Shamish Tachtav. It's not a real position. It's a waiting in the wings in case something happens position. As opposed to Meshuach Muhammad, that's a real position. There's a job to do even if the Kohen Gadol is alive. And therefore, this position over here that it has to be Mimuna for something specific, such as the job of the Meshuach Muhammad, and not in case something happens to God, Kohen Gadol, we have somebody to step in and take his place. Okay. Then we start quoting the Mishnah again, which said, "Ba'amar Aleim Shema Yisrael," the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad would exhort them and tell them, everybody listen carefully to what I'm saying, don't be afraid. So why do you use this Lashon Shema Yisrael? Maishno Shema Yisrael, why do you use this particular Lashon? As Rashi says, Lama Maskil B'Lashon Zeh, why Dafka to use these words of Shema Yisrael? Obviously, there's meaning in the word Shema Yisrael that is more than just listen, O Israel. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rishum Rechoy. Rav Yochanan said, in the name of Mishum Rechoy, again, mentioned this many, many times, if it uses the Lashon Mishum, it doesn't mean that he heard it from him directly. He heard it through his Rebbeim, or heard it from their Rebbeim, and heard it from Rav Shem Rechoy. And Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klai Yisrael, Afilu Lo Kiyamtem El Kriya Shema Shachas Yarvis. Even if you aren't the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, but you're medaktik to say Kriya Shema in the morning and Kriya Shema at night, that's why this Lashon of Shema Yisrael was specifically used, then don't worry. You have nothing to fear. You'll win this battle against your enemies. It's Kedai that we should mention. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is, of course, many people may be listening to this right around Lag BaOmer. We're coming up at Lag BaOmer when I'm dictating this, and when you actually listen to it on the day that this daf is the actual daf Yomi, so it will be very close to Lag BaOmer. So it's Kedai to point out that interesting coincidence. Nothing is a coincidence that we're learning about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai right around Lag BaOmer. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah again. It says, the Kohen Mashuach Mucham would tell them, Ayirach Levavchem, Al Tiru V'chule, all these different Lashonos of don't be afraid. So the Brisa expands upon this further. Tanu Rabban, we learn the Brisa. Pamayim Medabrimon, the Kohen Mashuach Mucham would speak to them twice. Achas Basfar, once before they went into battle at the border, the Achas B'Muhammad, and once when they're at the actual battlefront. Now, what did he say each time? Basfar, at the border, before they went into the battle, Mahu Omer, what would he go tell him? Return to Membeis over Beis. He would say, Shimu Divrei Marachei HaMuchama V'chizu. He would say to those people who had a heter not to go out to fight, so for example, the people that had done Erisin but hadn't done Nisuin, so they didn't have to go out to battle. Somebody built a brand new house and didn't yet live in it. So he planted a vineyard, but he didn't yet go and take off the fruits from the grapes from the vineyard. So all of these people, as well as those that were afraid, they didn't have to go out to battle. They had a right to go back. From a very common sense point of view, I heard from a rebbeim that the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu said all of these other people, so in case there were people that were afraid, they wouldn't be embarrassed to go back. People will see, they go back and say, oh, he must have just planted a vineyard. Oh, he must have just built a new house. Oh, he must have gotten married. So they're really afraid, and that's why they're going back. And therefore, this gives them an out, so they won't be afraid. Because having people that are afraid in the battle can unfortunately be very contagious. And if one person's afraid, he starts to run away, so it could lead to a stampede in the wrong direction, and everybody retreats, so it could be very dangerous. So therefore, he would give all the people the exemptions, and that would include the people that were afraid to go out. Once he's out there, however, once now they're no longer preparing to the battle, they're now at the battlefront, so b'muhammah mahawamer, he then gives a different message to them. He doesn't tell them, go back home if you have any of these exemptions. Now he tells them, now he tells them, hey, you guys are here. You can't go back anymore. Don't be afraid. And he said these four lashonos over here, Ayirach levavchem, Tiru, Tachbazu, Tarutsu. These four Lashonos is Keneged Arbor Dvarim, Sho'ovdei Kochavim Osim. This was against the four things that the enemy, the Ovdei Kochavim, would try to go and do in order to get fear into the minds of their enemy. So what we would do, there would be Megifin, as we pointed out, they would clash and clang their swords and shields together, Merian, and they would blow on their Kronos, they would blow on their horns, and Tzolchin, they would go and shout and yell and scream, bloodthirsty, you know, types of shouting, Viromsin, and they would bang up and down, their horses would bang up and down with the neighing that we had, and therefore they would try to strike fear into the minds and the hearts of their enemies. So the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad at this point would say, don't worry, you got nothing to worry about. Hashem is with you and you will win. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us and we deserved it, so not a single Jewish soldier was lost. In the battles that some of the kings had when the people were good to each other, so even though the king was a Rasha, Gemara tells us in Brachos that not a single person was lost. Yet, in some of the battles with David HaMelech, because the people weren't so nice to each other, unfortunately there were people that were lost. So again, if we deserved it, we had nothing to be fearful of. Then we quote the Mishnah, it tells us about the Plishtim come with their mighty Goyas, Plishtim Bo, Benitzchon Roshel Goyas, and yet what happened to him, Behulei, he died at the hands of David HaMelech, and all the Plishtim had to flee as well. Now, why was it called Goyas? Goyas, Amar Rav Yochanan, She'omad B'gilui Panim L'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sat with Gilui Panim, as Rashi points out, Chutzpah. He was very Chutzpahdik towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was basically challenging Hashem to go and fight him. He was similar to Titus of Russia, who said when he stuck the sword into the Prochus and it bled, he said, oh, I killed God. They thought that they could go and fight God. Titus said afterwards, oh, you want to go and kill me in the water? That's all you can do. You can't kill me on the land. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a little yitosh, a little insect, and said, let's see how you fight this insect. And of course, Titus had a horrible death. The insect burrowed into his brain, made tremendous noise inside his head, and couldn't be silenced. So to over here, Goyah said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hey, I'll fight you. Shenemar, biru lachem ish v'yeirad eloi. Go and select for yourself a man, meaning Hashem. Let him come down and fight me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Ish, and Emma Hashem Ish Milchama. So Goyas was such a chutzpahdik person, he was basically challenging, not Klai Yisrael, don't send me your champion, don't send me Shaul, don't send me your general, some other strong guy. Send your God, and I'll defeat your God. That's the arrogance and the chutzpah of Goyas. That's why he was called Goyas, because he amad begilui panim. He was revealed. He was chutzpah against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond, so to say? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, oh, you think that you're so tough? Hareini mapilo al yad benish. I will have him be defeated by a person who is not his equal in stature from a physical prowess point of view, from an armory warrior type of view. I'm going to send him a little boy. Now, David Melch wasn't a little boy at that time. He was 30 years old. He was, a young adult, but he was relatively small compared to Goliath. Goliath was a giant. Navi tells us that Goliath stood 6 amah tall. So if you hold it, an amah is even 1.5 feet, so then he's 9 feet tall. If you hold an amah is 2 feet, then he's 12 feet tall. So, and a little bit more, and a zeris, which could mean a half an amah more. So Goliath was a powerful specimen, and David, even though he was, a strapping young man, was nothing compared to Goliath. So, Hareini mapilo ayal ben ish, I'll send a son of a man, in other words, not even a full-fledged warrior, shenemar, v'David ben ish efrati hazeh. So, David was called the ben ish over here to, again, symbolize that he was not physically the equal of Goliath, but of course, since he was fighting on behalf of Hashem, so he easily defeated Goyas. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Meir. Again, Rav Yochanan said another thing in the name of Rav Tanoim, not that directly heard it from Rav Meir, but he said in the name of Rav Meir, B'shlom Shur Makomus L'chado Piv Liosa Rasha. So to say, Goyas put words into his own mouth that portended his ultimate defeat. He was prophesying, even though he didn't realize it. What did he say? These three things. Number one, Echad, Berulachem Ish, V'yered Eloi. Select for yourself a man, which we said he was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yered Eloi, which implied that he will come down to me and I will be defeated by him. As Rashi says, Mashma, Alai Shu Yigaver, Tahave Lei, Lemema, V'yelochemiti. In other words, he will defeat me. He could have said, V'yelochemiti, but instead he said, V'yered Eloi, he will put me down. So that's number one. Number two, v'yidach, im yuchal ilochem iti v'ikoni v'gomer. He said, let's see if you can send somebody out to battle me. Send your champion out to battle with me. And v'ikoni, and he will defeat me. Now, he was saying that maybe he will defeat me, but he said he will defeat me, and therefore he prophesies over here that he would be defeated. And the third place, v'yidach, v'karmalei l'David, when Goliath saw David, he said, you're the champion of the Jews? Hakelev onochi? Are you sending some little boy out to defeat me as if I was a dog? Am I a dog? That you're coming to me with a stick? You didn't come even with a sword. David didn't even have a sword. He came obviously with the stones that he picked up. But you're treating me like a dog. In other words, he said, he will come upon me. And that's exactly, he prophesied without even realizing it, because David did come upon him and defeat him. Morris says, but wait a second, if you're using those words to show that he prophesied that he would be defeated, so David said the same thing. David nami. Also by David, Amalei, David said, Ata bo elai b'cherev u'b'chanis u'b'chidon. When he responded back to Goliath, he said, I'm coming to you, not like you're coming to me. You're coming to me, elai, implying that you're going to defeat me, b'cherev, with a sword, u'b'chanis, with a spear, u'b'chidon, with another type of a spear, like a javelin. So David also seemed to prophesize that he would be defeated. So how can you only darsh it for Goliath and not darsh it for David? So Gemara says, there's an obvious answer. Because David was in context, he immediately said afterwards, you're coming at me with the sword, the spear, and the javelin, but I'm coming to fight you. We don't have the word Yisrael in the Pasuk. I'm coming to you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you were making fun of. Goliath came out for 40 days and 40 nights, as we'll see momentarily in the Gemara, right at the time when they were saying Kriya Shema in the morning and the times they were Kriya Shema at night, so they couldn't accept Omar HaShemayim upon themselves. They'd be so terrified, and he prevented them from doing that, and he was again going to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his great chutzpah. So David wasn't saying, you're just going to defeat me. He said, no, you're coming to me, but you're not going to defeat me because I'm coming b'shem Hashem. So we had a member, Rav Yochanan, in the name of Shem Yochai. We had another member in the name of Meir. And now Rav Yochanan continues and he says, Vayigash ha-plishti hashkem v'arev. The plishti, goyas, came every morning and every night. And Rav Yochanan tells us, Amar Rav Yochanan, here he says in his own name, Kedei levat l'mikriyash ma shachris v'arvis. He came, bedavka, when they would accept upon themselves Omachu Shemayim with kriyash ma of shachris and kriyash ma of arvis. And therefore he prevented them from doing so. By Yisyatzei v'abarim yom, he did this for 40 days and 40 nights, in the mornings and in the evenings. So Rav Yochanan, Keneged abarim yom, shenit no ben Torah. This is corresponding to the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim getting the Torah. So Goyas, again, was showing them, I'm going to be chutzpahdik over here. I'm attacking your God. I'm attacking everything that's fundamental and basic to Yiddishkeit. The psukim continue. Vayetze ish habeinayim mimachanos plishtim v'gomer. This man who was known as the ish habeinayim came out of the plishti camp. And the pasuk continues. We don't have that over here. That's the v'gomer. And it says that this was Goyas. His name was Goyas, and he came from the city of Gas. Now, if he was, in fact, as we'll see later on, from Arpa, his mother was Arpa, so then he's coming really from Moab. So why does it say he came from Gas? It's because he was born in Gas, albeit he wasn't a Plishti himself. So that's what it means, Goyas Shemo Migas. That's the Vegomer over here. Now, why is it called Ish HaBenayim, Mai Benayim? What does Benayim mean? So we have a number of interpretations. Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Shemevune Mikol Mum, that he was perfect without any sort of a blemish. As Rashi tells us, Mikol Mum, Mesukan Umenukia, Mikol Mum Shel Kior. He had absolutely no physical blemishes within him. He was a stud. He was a very powerful person. Mevuna Mikol Mum, without any blemishes at all. Shmuel says, Ushmuel Amar, Benoni Shebechav. He was the middle one amongst his brothers. He was one of four brothers. They were all giants, and some of the brothers were bigger than him, and some of them were a little bit smaller than him. He was the Benoni. He was the middle one of his four brothers. Then Rav Shela, the Beis Medrash Rav Shela, they said that Rav Shela's opinion was Shu Asui Kibinyan. He was built like a building. In other words, he was built like a tank. He was built very, very, very strong. And finally, Rav Yochanan's own opinion is Bar Meya Papi V'Chodo Nani. What does this mean? So Rashi explains, Nani is Zehu Av B'Loshon Parsi. The word Nani is father. So he had one father, but his mother had slept with 100 people, Papi Parshtora B'Loshon Ish HaBinayim Shiyotsu B'Bein Anoshim Harbe. On the night that Orpah left Nomi and Rus, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, so she ended up sleeping with 100 men, and it says there as well a dog. And the Gemara elsewhere explains that he was a product of somehow all of these 100 men and this dog, and that's how Goyas was conceived and born. So our Gemara is telling us over here that there were 100 men. One was his real father, but she had slept with 100 men that night. Again, the Gemara elsewhere seems to imply that he was actually a combination of all of these 100 men and this one dog, and that's why he was as powerful as he was. He was Goyas, the great, powerful person. Then the pasuk has the begomer that we had before, Goyas Shemo Migas. There's no vav in the pasuk. Here, the vav is because we're now continuing and darshaning, but the pasuk is Goyas Shemo Migas. He was Goyas who came from Gas. So Tony Rav Yosef darshan this as follows. Shakol Doshin Esimo Kigas. Why was he known as Goyas Shemo coming from the place Gas? Because he was specifically from Gas, because everybody would press his mother. In other words, his mother had 100 men that she slept with on the night that he was conceived, and that was like a wine press. So therefore, everyone pressed his mother down like a wine press. Okay. Ksiv, now the Pasuk tells us, Me'oros. That's the way the word is spelled in the Pasuk. However, it's pronounced Mima'archos. So it's a Ksivu Kri. So that's what the Gemara tells us now. Ksiv Maros, Bikarinan, Marachos. It's spelled out without the Chaf, so it's like a cave, Mi'aros, but we pronounce it Marachos, which means from the armies of the Plishtim. So Tani Rav Yosef dashes this as well. Shakol Heru Bimo. So this word Mi'aros is to imply that everyone had Ha'ara, which we learned previously, they had the onset of Bia. They had relations with his mother. These 100 men had relations with Arpa, Goyas' mother. Now, Her name was Harapha, and also Arpa. They're both the same one woman. Ksiv Harapha, Uksiv Arpa. So why was she called which one? So Rabu Shmuel, we don't know which one said which. Chadamar Harapha Shema. Her name was really Harapha. And why was she called Arpa? Lama Nikwa Shema Arpa. She was called Arpa, Shakol Arfin Osomechra, because everyone committed sodomy with her, that they came in the Bia Shlokidarka against her neck, so to say. They were facing the back of her body, and that's how these 100 men had relations with her. Shakol Arfin Osomechra. The Chadamar Arpa Shmuel, the other opinion, either Rav Shmuel said, no, her name was Arpa. And why was she called Harapha? V'lama nikra Shma Harapha, Shakol Doshin Osa Karifos. Everybody had relations with her, just like these kernels of wheat, known as harifos, that are crushed. And the pasuk tells us, "Uchenu Omer, Vatikachu Isha, Vatifros Es Hamosach Al Pnei HaBe'er, Vatishtach." The word shouldn't be Olel; should be Olav Harifos. So this is a maisa where David was getting information about Avshalom, and a woman hid two of David's agents, and it said that she spread some sort of a curtain over them, and hid them inside a well, and she scattered all these crushed kernels of wheat around them so nobody would realize that they were there. So therefore, we see the word harifos is these crushed kernels, and that implies shakol doshin or sol karifos. Everybody crushed her, everybody had relations with her, just like these kernels were crushed. That's teretz number one. Or you can learn out the word harifos from here. This pasuk, it says, im tichtosh es ha'evil b'machtesh, if you crush a silly person inside this mortar, b'sol harifos ba'eli, just like you would crush kernels of wheat inside this item as well. Nevertheless, the end of the pasuk says that you won't go and remove this person's foolishness in this situation. Lo sasur may alav ivalto is the end of that pasuk. Okay, so those are the drushes we have for Dosh, that everybody had relations with her. Okay, Gemara continues and tells us, now again, the Vav is not present in the Pasuk, Yes, Arbas Ela Yuldu Lo Harapha Begas, that Harapha, Arpa, had four sons in the Gas, in the Plishti city Gas. Vayiflu B'yad David U'yad Avadav, and all of them died. They all fought against David, and they all ultimately were killed by David and his army. Who are these four? My new. So Amr Chisra. Chisra tells us that their names were Saf, Umadon, Goyas, and Yishbi Benov. Those were the four people. And this is based upon Psukim that we have in Shmuel Beis. In any event, it says, Vayiplu biyad David uviyad avadav. They ultimately were all killed at the hand of David and of David's army, his servants. Dechsev. And we know this because it says, Vatishak arpa lachamosa. Arpa leaves Naomi, her mother-in-law, Virus and Rus, her sister-in-law, and nevertheless, the Rus dafka ba. But Rus stayed with her mother-in-law Naomi, even though Orpah originally said, I'll stay too. She was convinced not to stay. She kissed her mother-in-law Naomi goodbye and left. Amar Yitzchak, Yitzchak tells us, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, God said, Yavo b'nei hanishuka, let the children of the one who was kissed, in other words, Orpah, the yiplu biyad b'nei hadavuka, and let them be falling in the hands of the woman who stayed, i.e. Rus. So even though Arpa was kissed by Naomi, and that kiss, so to say, entitled to have four such powerful children, nevertheless, she didn't stay. She should have stayed, but she didn't. So therefore, the one who was kissed by Naomi will ultimately fall. Her descendants will fall into the one who stuck to, Devuka, was glued to Naomi, that Rus did not leave. Furthermore, Darash Rava, Rava explains, Bishar Abedemo Sharida Arpa al Chamosa, Zachso Vyatsu Mimena Arbo Agibarim. Why did Arpa have this chus to have these four great giants, you know, physically very, very powerful, great physical specimens? To what zechus did she owe this? That she cried four tears when she left Naomi. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says, Shenema, Vatisena Kolon Vativkena Od, that she raised her voices. Both Naomi and Arpa raised their voices, and they cried again. So there are two times that she cried, and there are two eyes. So there's four tears, two from the first crying, two from the second crying, and in that zechus she was meriting to have these four giant sons. Now, Goyas's spear is described in the following way. In one pasuk it tells us, Ksiv chetz chaniso, that's the way it's spelled, but the karinon, but we read it, we pronounce it Eitz chaniso. So what is the word? Chetz or eitz? So Amar Rilazar, Rilazar darshins as follows. Adayin lo higonu lechatzi shivcho shel oso rasha. The chetz represents half, that we haven't even reached half of a description of how great Goyas was. And the reason we do only say half, because we're not interested in praising a Rasha. So we gave him half his praise and not his full praise. And the obvious question is, so why do you give him any praise at all? So don't tell us anything about Goyas. If you're saying you shouldn't go praise Rishayim, so then why did you praise him even halfway? If you're telling me you only gave half his praise, so why did you give any of his praise? So he says, no, that's lo duye shivchei the David. If we didn't hear how powerful Goyas was, then big deal that David went out to fight him. He's a nobody. That's why David went out to fight him. Once you hear how powerful Goyas was, and that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface, wow, that's a shevach for David HaMelech. And that's why it even tells us any attributes of Goyas, how powerful he was, but it doesn't tell us the whole story, because also l'sape b'shvachon shel rishayim, and we learn that out from the spelling of the word chetz, even though it's pronounced eitz. The Mishnah's continuing in the quotes, so that was Goyas, there was also from Amon, there was their champion, his name was Shovach. B'nei Amon bo b'nischonu shel shovach v'chulei, and again, he got his, David defeated him as well, and all of the Ammonites, they ran away. Now, it tells us over here, Ksiv Shovach, his name was Shovach. And it tells us elsewhere in another pasuk, Ksiv Shofach, his name was Shofach. So in Shmuel Beis, he's referred to as Shovach, and in Divrei Yamim, he's referred to as Shofach. So what's going on over here? So again, Rabbi Shmuel, they darshin as follows. We don't know which one said which. Chadamar Shofach Shmo. His name was Shofach. So why was he called Shofach? The Lomanik was Shmo Shofach. Asui Kishovach. Because he was powerful, built like a Shofach. Rashi Divrei Yamim says, Shehu Govoa Kishovach. He was as tall as a Shofach. Shofach is very tall, so therefore he was as tall as a Shofach. The other opinion we don't know is Rabbi Shmuel, the Chadamar Shovach Shmuel. No, his name was Shovach. And the Lomanik was Shofach. Why was he called Shofach? Because Shekhala Roso Nishpach Lefonav Kikiton. Because anybody saw him, they were falling basically in fear. They couldn't even stand up. They fell down in front of him out of fear, like they were a poured liquid. They melted away from in front of him. And again, Rashi in Divrei Yamim tells us, Shohaya Shofech Domim Kimayim. He spilled blood like it was water. In other words, everybody was terrified of him. Okay, he ultimately got his as well, and David defeated him. Then the pasuk tells us, since Rashi explains, since we just had a member of Rav and Shmuel darshaning a pasuk, we don't know which one said which, so we darshan another pasuk from Rav and Shmuel. We don't know which one said which. Now it says in this pasuk about Nebuchadnezzar, Ashpaso kikever pasuach kulam giborim, that the army of Nebuchadnezzar is described as an ashpa. Now an ashpa is a dung heap. But here it's darshan in the following way. Ashpaso kikever pasuach. His ashpa is like an open grave. Kulam gibarim. And the army is all strong warriors. So how do we darshan this pasuk? So Rabbi Shmuel, we don't know which one said which. Others say that here it was Ravami and Ravasi. Ravami and Ravasi, they darshan the following way. One of them said, whoever it was, either Rabbi Shmuel or Ravami or Ravasi, chadamar b'shar shezorkin chetz, when they would shoot their arrows, osin ashpos, ashpos, ashpotos, shol chalom. They killed so many people with a single fell swoop of their arrow, so they made them into like a heap of bodies, like a garbage heap, like a dung heap. That's how good these soldiers were. You're going to tell me maybe they were just very, very good marksmen, but they weren't very strong. B'shem Tomar she'umnim bakrab. Okay, they were very skillful archers. However, they weren't really giborim. B'shem Tomar she'umnim bakrab. But they weren't giborim, tamadoma. That's why the pasuk continues. Ashposu kiba pasuach, kulam giborim. Don't think for a second that they weren't mighty, mighty people over here. The other opinion, whether it's Rav Shmuel or whether it's Rami Ravasi, chadamar bishar shosim shochem. Did we go to the bathroom? Osin ashposos, ashposos shozevel. They had heaps and upon heaps of excrement that they defecated. They were so big and so powerful, and they ate so much, so they had huge mounds of defecation, of excrement. And they're going to tell me, okay, maybe they were sick, maybe this was a sign of a inflammatory bowel disease, it was a sign of a GI problem. You're going to tell me, that's not a praise, that they're just sick. So Talmud Lomar, no, the Pasuk then says, Kulam Giborim, they all were powerful, so it wasn't sickness. But that implies, Amar Mari, Shmamina, Haiman Dinofir Zivle, under normal circumstances, if somebody has a lot of excrement, it normally is signifying that he has some sort of intestinal disease. Now, Who cares? Why are we telling us this? L'mai nafkamina? What difference does it make whether the soldiers were here with Kiborim and didn't have intestinal disease, or normally somebody does have a lot of excrement, does have intestinal disease? So Gemara says, obviously, litrach b'nafshei, you got to go to the doctor to go take care of yourself. So if it's a sign of health, then no need to rush to the doctor. But if it normally is a sign of not being sturdy and healthy, so then you got to go see a doctor. Okay. Now the Gemara says, a final statement over here, between Ravami and Ravasi, since we just had a statement of Ravami and Ravasi, so we have another statement. We have a famous pasuk from Mishle, which tells us, if a person is very worried, the pasuk says, yashchena. So it means to go get rid of it, to destroy it. Now, Ravami and Ravasi, they darshan this word in two different ways. One of them, we don't know which, charamar yashchena midaito, get it out of your mind. If you're worried about something, try not to think about it. Remove it. Yasir, you should take it away from your mind. Yaschena is a lashon of remove it. The other one said, however, v'chademar, yasi chena li'achirim. If you have problems, talk it over with somebody else. Your problems always will be much less if you go talk it over with somebody else. So therefore, that's how each of them darshan this word yaschena, to destroy your worries. So there's two different ways to do it. Try to put it out of your mind. Try not to think about it. Think about Torah, think about something else. The other one says, no, go tell your problems over to a friend. When you tell your problems over to a friend, that always will loosen up your mind and make you feel more comfortable, and therefore the daga, the worry that you have, will not be such a dread. This is a great point. With this, we conclude today's share.